Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, and tonight we have Nancy Crossley of Beauty So Clean on board with us tonight. But first, we have some beauty news that's going to be read by Danielle Blount. Hi, Danielle.
Good evening, ladies. So this is beauty news for today, July 28th. The Chet Bennett Career Institute presents two airbrush workshops for Kit Cosmetics on September 25th and September 26th. The September 25th workshop will teach attendees the basics of airbrush makeup, and that will include knowledge on color matching, color correction, highlighting, and contouring. And the September 26th workshop is considered advanced, and it will cover topics including fine details, 3D shading, eyeshadow design, multi-layering techniques, and fashion couture looks. So if you are interested, you can register by going to www.ketcosmetics.com or give them a call toll-free at 1-866-KETAIR, that's K-E-T-T-A-I-R, A-I-R, or 1-866-538-8247. And that's all I have for tonight, ladies.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Short and sweet. Thanks a lot, Danny. I appreciate it. Nancy, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on your show tonight. This is
very
exciting.
Thank you for joining us at the last minute. We're excited because this is something that I've been wanting to talk about a long time, but I just want you to first just kind of give us a quick synopsis or summary of how all of this began, and why did you guys create a sanitizing product versus just a beauty product?
I was actually a makeup artist for many, many years. I started in the industry in 1984, so you can do the math. And
right.
Over the years, my mother was a makeup artist as well, so I'm second generation. The first makeup lesson she ever gave me was how to be clean and how to have a clean setup. But guess what? We didn't have anything to actually clean the makeup. So over the years, I kept trying different things, and you know, I even used mouthwash on my lipsticks because there was a little bit of alcohol in there. Again, trying different products, working with a lot of the brush cleaners out there that had chemical bases to them. I was never satisfied. Was very intrigued with product development. And one day, I came up with basically the idea of coming out with a sanitizer because it was so needed in the industry. And I set out to work with some chemists and labs and things like that, and I just turned it into a mission to bring the product to market. And there's so many other cosmetics out there that lots and lots of competition, but there wasn't another sanitizer, and Beauty So Clean is the world's first and only. And again, you know, very well needed, and the response has been absolutely tremendous. It's been great.
Nice. You know, you said one thing that did it for me, and you said that you're a makeup artist. That might not mean anything, but that's one of my biggest things, is sanitation and being clean. And just to know that a makeup artist is behind this particular product is a great thing for me. I would think that that's kind of something that you make people aware of when you go out and you talk about your product, that you
absolutely
have been a
makeup artist. For instance, yeah, when we're at the trade shows, things like that, I make a point of telling people that I am a makeup artist and that I developed this and made this mission in my life because the product wasn't available. And yes, I had to go and find partners and find people that would get involved in a business venture. But again, I was the makeup artist looking for the answer, and with the response that we've had with the product, even consumers would looking for something to sanitize their cosmetics when you're going out to department stores and things like that. You know, the makeup artists are the ones we set the stage. We're the ones who a lot of the consumers look up to find what the new trends are and all and. You know, what the new colors are, what the new brands are that we're working with. And, again, they look up to us, you know, for our tricks. And it's just a great way to really differentiate yourself, provide a higher level of service. And at all times, it's about a makeup artist's reputation as well, being clean.
Right, right. Because I know over the years I've seen makeup artists who aren't so clean from their kits and the appearance of their kits. You know, when they open up their boxes, everything. I mean, even I know it's makeup, but the makeup has makeup all over it. You know, it's like
well, the makeup has. It's,
clean.
You're right. I don't mean to interrupt, but you're right. There's cross contamination. People, we dip, we play with colors, and you never know where you're doing that, and you might be on set. But it's the makeup is dirty. You have to clean it. You have to actually, have proper hygiene practices. But I could tell you some funny stories, and I find that the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. There are some makeup artists from the old school that I've seen makeup artists actually use their own saliva with an eyeliner brush to wet their cake eyeliner with. And away it goes. And you still see that today. You still see people double dipping. You still see people just maybe being a little bit lazy when they're not cleaning their brushes. They might just dust them off, or you open up a brush roll and there's all kinds of color on there, or even their brush roll's dirty. The good news is a lot of the makeup schools today are starting to teach the students right from scratch that it's very, very important to have good hygiene practice. And that's where we're working very hard in trying to reach the cosmetic schools to teach the makeup artists the proper habits right from the beginning. Because, again, I think of those days when using your own saliva or using your own glass of water that you've been drinking on set, you're using that to dip your brushes into. But there's some pretty awful, nasty things I can tell, and I'm not going to do that tonight.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, that's where it starts, actually, you know, being taught. You know, because I think for some people it's about, for those who know better, I think it's about being lazy when they don't do the right thing. But there are a lot of artists out there who just haven't been taught. Some of them are self-taught makeup artists, and, you know, they haven't gone to a school where the first thing they teach, I know the first thing I was taught was sanitation. And I'm glad that the makeup programs now are beginning to do so, and I think it's great that you guys are trying to get into some of the schools and kind of, you know, talk about that. And it leads me to one of the questions that I had for you, and that was, you know, again, there are some makeup artists who don't attend school or who are self-taught, and so they're not taught sanitation. What would you say to those makeup artists that don't practice proper sanitation? What would you tell them about sanitation practices?
Well, I think it's really important to always try to educate yourself and to update your education. And the wonderful thing is we've got trade shows like, you know, the IMAT circuit, where they bring in such fabulous guest speakers and such wonderful makeup artists, award-winning makeup artists, you know, from all over the world, and reading the blogs, watching the bloggers, the people that actually, the YouTube channels, people that have the large followings, you're going to learn a lot just following them. Because they're out there and they're active and they're going to the trade shows and they're finding the new products. So let's just say you can't travel and you can't afford to go to these trade shows or whatever the reason is, and you're going to these shows and educate yourself. Spend a weekend once a year and update what you know. Don't ever just stop growing. It's very important because you just never know what you're going to learn. But about makeup artists that are self-taught, I was basically self-taught, but I still have proper hygiene practices. So, you know, there's makeup artists out there. I think it's about you and it's about your reputation and about, you know, what standard you might have. So it becomes, if you have good hygiene for your own personal self, you're going to have good hygiene for your makeup. And there's things that I would say to people about a compact. I would say, well, you wouldn't use the same face cloth on yourself every day for a year, would you? And they look at me and they would say, well, absolutely not. But here you've got a compact and that's like using the same face cloth on all of your clients for a year without ever washing it if you don't sanitize that compact.
Right.
You have to have common sense if you're going to be a good, busy, working makeup artist. If you don't have common sense, then you probably shouldn't be in the field because we're working very closely with people's eyes and their lips, and there's cross-contamination. There's a very personal relationship that's developed, and you really want to gain the trust of your client.
Absolutely.
So that's how I feel.
Well, let me also ask you, are there others that use the Beauty
So
Clean products besides makeup artists?
Well, we have had quite, I'd say, the last 18 months. We started in Canada, and we're in retail stores across Canada, mandatory protocol. We're at department stores like The Bay, London Drugs, Pharmasave, Jean Coutu, Family Pre, Uniprix, you name it. We're all across Canada. We've recently launched at Harvey Nicks in the U.K., and we just are working with a team over there. And so here we're talking about department stores. We also have a big North American launch that we're doing for salons and spas. So any salon and spa that does makeup or even sells, you know, to the consumer. Cruise ships, we've got, you know, face painting makeup artists using it. Models, I could name off probably a dozen modeling agencies that, you know, a lot of the top models carry Beauty So Clean now with them because they're having their makeup done. This is their livelihood. They don't want cross-contamination when they're going to a fashion show or they're doing a photo shoot. You know, we basically have, you know, teen clinics that we're doing, acne clinics. There's dermatologists that are starting to pick up the product because they see the need for, you know, bringing it out there and bringing it to the consumer. So it started with makeup artists, and then we started retail. We started at the department stores, and then now we're, you know, getting it out to the consumers, the everyday user. In fact, Good Morning America did a piece on dirty cosmetics. And it was the actual consumer's makeup bag that they tested. It was not a makeup artist kit. And that link is actually on our website. And you can go on and see a fabulous video where, you know, I think it was a concealer from a host on a TV show that had really a dangerous bacteria on her concealer.
Oh, wow.
And she was actually pregnant. She was pregnant. So, you know, you don't, and that's a concealer going around your eyes. So, again, that's going very close, and it's like your lipstick when you're ingesting things, and if there's germs on it, you have to really be careful of anything around your eyes and your lips.
Absolutely. Now, I know you said the response has been great, but I know you've gone to several of the trade shows. What or people coming up and saying to you personally about the product if they've used it?
It's just been a wonderful response. This whole, for me personally, it's been an experience that I'm just very grateful that you know people come up to me and they're happy to you're excited to meet me, which is wonderful that I can actually bring something and give back to my makeup mm-hmm. artist community. But for me to watch at the vendors' booths and for people to walk up and ask at the El Cone booth, I need some Beauty So Clean.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of standing in the background. I know that we're branded. I know that people know what the product is. We're on the top 10 lists of some of the shopping lists. And when people come up to us and say, oh, this is on my list and I have to get this. And you know, we usually sell out in the first day anyhow of our show specials. To me, it's just terrific to see the response and people wanting, they're asking for it. They're not actually coming up to us anymore and we don't have to educate them and tell them what the product is. We don't get the, what's this? We get, is there any left? Right? And it's, and to me, that is exciting. And I've seen, of course, that all grow in the last couple of years. But I believe we're branded. I believe that people know what we are. And I believe that, again, there's so much social media activity on the product that just doing any kind of a search on how to clean my brushes, we're going to pop up. So any of the big people that have any followers, they've talked about us. So we're out there internationally as well.
Nice. Now, what other products besides, the sanitizing product do you guys sell?
We have three SKUs. We have our sanitizing mist, which is for powder-based products. We have the wipes, which are for anything that a residue is going to stick to, but they're the same formula. The mist and the wipes are the same formula. And then we have our brush cleanser. That's all we have. We have the three products because we are really infection control for cosmetics. We're not a cosmetic company. We're like hand sanitizer for your makeup.
Right.
We really are focused on those three SKUs.
Gotcha. Now I want to get into a little bit more about the actual sanitation. But first, I know that Danny has a question, so I'm going to let Danny go ahead and ask her question.
Okay.
Are you there, Danny?
I am. I'm sorry. I have a question in relationship to general consumers that go to the counter and are looking at makeup. So those testers that we see when we're going to find lip gloss or things like that, what should we be looking for, or what types of questions should we be asking the people behind the counter as it relates to how they're cleaning their makeup? It's one thing for a makeup artist to be responsible for their kits, but then it's another thing to have a responsibility for, I guess, a business to follow up on those types of procedures. So what would you tell a consumer that's just going out to buy makeup? What are some of the things that they should be asking people at the counter?
Well, I would recommend that they bring their little 8-mil spritzer of Beauty So Clean with them to sanitize any of those testers that they're going to touch. I'll a very funny story. When I was in London recently, I was walking through a major department store, and I had a fellow literally chase me down in the along the aisle with a mascara, a new mascara that had just launched, and he said, "Here, try this." And he took out the wand out of the tube, and he tried to apply it to my eyelashes, and I put my hand out and pushed him away, and I said, "No, thank you." And he said, "No, seriously, you have to try this. It's the best makeup artist or best mascara." And I said, "But it's not clean." I said, "How could you do that?" And he said, "Oh, it's okay." And he did that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when I saw that and I see You know, until we've actually gone to a department store and shown them what our protocol is, it's very important for the consumer to really protect your own health. And then what you need to do is you need to go and you look at your testers. If they don't have any kind of sanitization, which, again, Beauty Soap Clean is the only sanitizing product for cosmetics, there is, you know, other brush cleaners out there. But you have to ask the cosmetician what they actually do. There's different methods of, you know, scraping off the makeup or wiping things off with a tissue, but that's not going to remove bacteria. We all know that. You know, but if you really want to try something, you know, try a Q-tip, put some on your hand, and then find some hand sanitizer right away. There are makeup artists that use, or cosmeticians that use, just plain alcohol. And people, that's actually the most common question asked to us at a trade show or through our blogs or people contacting us. Well, what's the difference between just using straight alcohol? And I would say to somebody, think of hand sanitizer. And if you used alcohol on your hands all day long, what's going to happen? And they automatically would say, it's going to dry out my hands.
And right.
Say, well, that's exactly what is going to happen to your cosmetics. So if you actually have a cosmetician at a department store that's using alcohol, the texture of that product is not going to be the texture of the product that you bring home. It's going to change the consistency of the product. So really you're going to be doing color testing or just taking a guess sometimes at what you're really buying, and you have to actually get the product home. But the easiest answer is just to bring some Beauty Soap Clean and sanitize it and try it.
Thank
you. Let me ask you, why do we as makeup artists think that alcohol cleans everything?
Well, it's like the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding. They thought Windex cleaned everything. So, you know, it's you know, alcohol, or, you know, there's bleach, there's different things, but, you know, really it can clean, but is it going to protect, and is it going to rejuvenate, and is it going to keep the product and the consistency the same? And
right.
That is really, you know, the only analogy I can come up with is if it's like hand sanitizer for your makeup, and if you rubbed your hands in alcohol all day long, what would happen? So you not only would dry out your hands, you would probably, for cosmetics, you for sure fade the color, and you change the actual consistency, because what it does is it dries out all the emollients in your cosmetics. So your makeup's going to be different. It's not going to go on the same. It's not going to last as long.
Right.
So
let's talk a little bit about
why do we think that? I don't know.
I know.
So.
It just seems like it's just something that is just automatic. We just do it, you know. And I've seen makeup artists. Who... Okay.
I was going to say, well, you see alcohol in an operating room, and we just trust. We trust
right.
that, you know, it's hospital grade. We trust that the bottle hasn't been left open and nothing else has gotten around the edge and there's no dirt in the bottle.
Right.
But obviously, you know, there's a protocol with washing your hands and how surgeons scrub and all that sort of thing. Our little wipes are actually, you know, you could use those in a hospital room, because everything is, again, manufactured in a fabulous facility. You know, if you're refilling alcohol bottles and things like that, you are actually cross-contamination begins at the neck of the bottle. I don't know if you can picture an alcohol bottle that you might have seen one day where there's dirt that goes around the edges and things like that. It's dirty. So your bottle's dirty. Our little 8-mil spritzer, the kit size spritzer, is not refillable for that reason. Because if you keep refilling something, it's not refilled in a white room. It's not sanitary. So
right.
Things aren't going to stay clean forever. So, you know, it's important that you have, it's the environment that things are manufactured, the environment where your kit is. If you're working on set somewhere and it's an outdoor shoot and there's dirt roads and dust, obviously, think about it. The dirt and the dust and everything is going to get all over your cosmetics. If you're working inside of a studio, chances are, if it's a brand new studio, things are going to be okay, but there's still lots of dust falling down from the ceilings. But again, it's the environment that you've got your product in. You have to really think about that.
Exactly. Did you have another question, Danny, before I go on?
I do. So what do you tell someone that says, I'm not a makeup artist and I do my own makeup, why should it be so important for me as the sole user of my makeup to clean my makeup?
Would you use the same face cloth every day for a year?
I know I
would.
That's
what I would say.
You know.
Would you, if you have a cold or a flu, do you throw out your toothbrush? Think
Absolutely.
Of the decaying food particles. Right, but think of the decaying food particles that are on your lipstick right now. If you're out at a restaurant and you touch your lipstick up after you've eaten dinner, think of the fact that there's decaying food particles on that lipstick. Think of the communal lip balm at your home when everyone in your house, if you have kids or whatever, are sharing that lip balm because you can never find a lip balm in the house. There's germs on it. You use lip balm when you're sick. But, again, your own makeup bag, there's germs growing on your makeup. And it's something that it's about hygiene, and it's about that face cloth. If you have acne, we talk about summer, covering up summer acne. Our pores are open. It's hot. There's, you know, you keep trying to cover up whatever blemish you might have. You're using and spending lots of money on all of the skincare to actually clean your face, but you keep putting the dirty makeup back on your face. So when you think of teenagers, when they keep covering up and covering up, it's that sponge is going back and forth into that compact. So the bacteria is on the makeup. It just doesn't seem to make any sense unless you're putting clean makeup on when you're trying to clear up your acne. They say not to squeeze pimples anymore because you're spreading the bacteria, right? Leave it alone. But you're going back and forth with that compact or that concealer stick, and you just keep putting the bacteria back on top of it as it's healing.
Hmm. That's a good point.
So,
I think that the one thing that comes to mind for me is the fact that I don't think about the food particles after I eat my
right.
dinner, you know, and I reach for my lip gloss. I'm not thinking, okay, I just had dinner, and now I'm about to apply something that could have been contaminated. I will admit that I do not think of that.
But now you do.
I do.
Because I just
absolutely.
Mentioned that, right? So I find it funny when I watch women. When you go to a public washroom, if you're at a restaurant or you're at a club, what have you, those washrooms are filthy, and that's where you're putting on your makeup. And the germs that are flying around that room, and again, the decaying food particles, what have you, there's all of those germs are getting all over your cosmetics. So I would clean them. You spend a lot of money on your cosmetics, so why wouldn't you buy something to protect them, to make your product last a little bit longer? One of our best demonstrations at a trade show is me showing how to use one of our wipes to remove the clumps and eyelashes off of your own mascara wand. So here, I'm not promoting that you use the same mascara wand as a professional makeup artist on 20 different clients. But if it's your own personal mascara and your mascara starts to get a little bit clumpy after, what is it, about a month after you've opened up a mascara container, if you take one of our wipes, you can clean your mascara wand right down to the original state of that brush, and it's beautiful and it's clean, and it takes out every single clump, and it's just wonderful to see. So again, you know, it's about personal hygiene again. It's about, if you throw out the toothbrush when you've had the flu, it's about covering up acne. It's about using the same face cloth every day for a year.
And so, Nancy, while we're talking about this, can you explain to the audience the importance of why we need to clean both our makeup and our makeup brushes?
Well, applicators go back and forth into the product, right? So you may have a disposable applicator, or you may have a brush that you're going to clean. And what you're actually doing is you have the applicator or the brush in your hand, and you're going into the blush, and you're going onto your face. So there's oil on your skin, and there's germs and what have you on there. Believe me, we found E. coli, we found Staphylococcus, we found many things, and that goes right back to the cosmetics, and it can grow and harbor on that product. So then you've got your makeup brush, and you're cleaning your makeup brush, and then you take your makeup, your clean makeup brush, and you go back into the cosmetics. That's where you've got the cross-contamination, is in the product itself. Again, if it's a disposable applicator, the disposable applicator does the same thing, because you're going back and forth. It doesn't matter that it's a disposable applicator, because you're going back and forth into the product. Or you're double dipping, when you shouldn't do that as well.
Right.
We don't double dip. In fact, I'd like to do the next trade show and have some of our demo people wearing double dipping t-shirts, and we're going to try to catch people double dipping. Wouldn't that be fun? Because everyone does it. And it's, we don't want, like,
right.
You can't double dip anymore. You just can't do it.
Right.
Anyhow, so that's, like, again, it doesn't matter that it's a disposable applicator. And you just have to see it. You know you're going back and forth.
That's true. I have so many questions, and I'm trying to let the conversation flow and ask the questions that are kind of related to what we're talking about, but all these questions are jumping in my head, so I may be a little all over the place. But my sister was telling me about a project that she was just working on where she, I think it was one of the interns that she had working, she used her fingers to apply lipstick to someone.
Oh, dear. Uh-huh.
And then she...
What school did she go to?
Right, I don't know, but she used her finger. Then she turned around and used that same exact finger to apply lipstick to another actress, and the actress told my sister about it, and the actress actually saw it. You know, she had the... And I guess she wasn't too upset because, and this might sound stupid, but the first actress and the second actress, they know each other very well. They just happen to be great friends. So I guess she wasn't too concerned, but she knows that that's not right. And that's why she said something
right.
to my sister about it. What do you think about, a lot of makeup artists like to use their fingers. What do you think about all that?
That's, in this day and age, I don't think that we should be using our fingers. There's still a lot of makeup
right.
artists that use their hands as a palette, but I would strongly recommend that you use a metal palette or a plastic palette, or you use spatulas. I love using spatulas. I love taking my mascara wand. This is another great trick that, of course, those disposable wands are not that terrific. There are companies that are coming out with disposable wands that are much nicer to work with, but you have to find them. You have to go to the trade shows and you have to find them. Anyways, I will take out the mascara wand that comes with my mascara, and I actually scrape the mascara formula onto my spatula or my palette. And then I take my disposable wand and I twirl the disposable wand into the little bit of mascara that I've put onto my spatula. Then I apply my mascara. And if I need more, I go back to the spatula and I pick out more. I always have a little extra there so that I'm not double-dipping my mascara wand. Because sometimes here you've got the disposable applicator. You're working with your client. You put on the mascara, but you need more, so you go back into the tube anyways. So what's the point of using the disposable wand? I see many makeup artists doing that. They take a lip gloss, disposable lip gloss wand, but they're using the lip gloss tubes.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I try to find the squeeze tubes, or I try to find the pots of lip gloss so that I can use a spatula to take that out. But if there's a makeup artist using her fingers to apply lipstick, I haven't seen that for a long time.
And not only did she say that, she used her finger, she used the same exact finger. I mean, she didn't even switch up the finger to put on the makeup to the new actress. She used the same exact finger.
Well, those are bad habits, and one day she's not going to get a job because that's going to turn off a client who actually feels that she's not safeguarding their health.
Right.
Or a producer or a director or someone. If they see bad habits, again, it's about your reputation, and it's about it's seriously about providing a higher level of service and making sure that you're protecting your customer and your own health. You're using your own finger. What if that talent had a cold sore? Or what if that talent was coming down with the flu and you took that same finger and then suddenly you've got two actresses out with the flu?
Right.
And then, again, I've seen people with allergic reactions to shellfish where they've shared a lipstick. One person had just eaten some shellfish. We go back to the decaying food particles on the lipstick. And then somebody else grabbed the lipstick, put the lipstick on. Their whole mouth blew up because they're allergic to shellfish, right? Same thing with peanut allergies. You're on crafts. You're at the craft area, and you've got somebody eating peanuts or peanut butter, and meanwhile there's somebody who's allergic to peanuts. Same goes for a department store. You've got people eating peanuts, almonds, whatever kind of nuts. They go in and they try a tester, and somebody comes up with a peanut allergy or a nut allergy, and they put that on, they could go into anaphylactic shock. So allergies, cross-contamination, again, that makeup artist, it's about their reputation and about being hired again. If you have bad habits, you're not going to get hired again.
Right. What about, I see somebody in the chat room saying, speaking of using your fingers, what if that makeup artist would have washed her hands and then used her fingers again on the next actress? I guess it doesn't really matter, she's wondering, I guess. If you washed her hands, does that make a difference?
My opinion, I don't think makeup artists should be using their fingers in this day and age.
Right.
Doesn't matter that you've washed your hands. I don't think you should be using your fingers to be applying lip gloss or lipstick. I just think it's out of the question. So
now,
I would say no.
Okay. So I guess you're saying no also to your foundations and your concealers.
You know, there's makeup artists that are going to use their hands to blend and do things, but to be putting lipstick on, I would say out of the question. To be using your finger to, blend or to do a last-minute little pinch on the cheek or a little smudge here and there, it is going to happen. So that's why, you know, the first thing on your list should be sanitize your hands.
Mm-hmm.
But don't start applying the makeup with your fingers. And same thing with foundation. We've got so many fabulous sponges out there now that I don't think it actually is appropriate or looks right if you're going to start using your hands on someone's face, especially if you don't, imagine if you don't know them. It's the first time you've done their makeup and your fingers are all over their face and their skin. I think that would actually make the client uncomfortable. There's not a lot of makeup artists in this that I've seen that apply foundation with their hands anymore.
Right.
There might be the odd one. There might be somebody who's maybe a little bit, you know, eccentric or creative, and they might try to do it, but that's really not the normal. So that, I would again say, no. Use the disposable applicators that are provided. Have your proper, just have your standards of your high, you know, clean hygiene. Because,
mm-hmm.
again, it's about impressing the person you're working on and stopping the cross-contamination.
Let me ask you, I've used the sanitizing spray. I love it. And I love the fact that you have the different sizes. You know, I like to, you know, just take the little small one and put it in my set bag. And, you know, then I like to have the bigger one, like, at my station. But let me ask you, with your makeup brush cleaners, because there are so many cleaners out there,
mm-hmm.
so many cleaners, and actually, to be honest with you, there's a lot of them out there that I've used for a long time, and now I just feel like, I don't know, maybe something has changed with them, but I just feel like sometimes they're a little too strong, you know, and you use them, and next thing you know, the hairs of your brushes are falling out. And what makes Beauty so clean, as far as being a brush cleaner, what makes that so different than some of the others, or is it different?
Well, when we developed our brush cleanser, it was very important to me that we actually developed that brush cleanser for the client. It's not developed for the makeup artist. You're not going to get that instant wow factor by saying, ooh, watch that. Look at that red lipstick just melt off my brush. It's so easy to clean brushes now. Because I grew up in the time that there was turpentine, dry cleaning fluid. Who knows what the heck was in the brush cleaners. And not only that, so we were basically frying our brushes. But we were fascinated watching it. And you're right, the brushes were all falling apart. And we were using the brush cleaner, and we were drying it off on a paper, and we weren't rinsing our brushes. So the chemical residue that is on that brush was actually going onto your client's face.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you're wondering, why is my makeup getting a sticky residue on it? Because there's a lot of oil in some of these cleaners, and the oil actually was sticking to your powders, and you were wondering why you were getting a ring on that product, right? So when we formulated our brush cleanser, it was for the client. Again, formulated with, you know, natural ingredients like willow bark and lime oil and chamomile. We've got also the base, which is our ethanol alcohol, which is what is going to sanitize the brush. But there's no chemical residue left on your bristles for the in-between when you go to apply makeup on your next client. So there's going to be no reaction. Our brush cleanse is also dermatology tested, and it's also non-irritating. That's another test that you actually have to go through. So it's for the client's face that you aren't going to have a reaction. It's dermatology tested. You're not going to be putting any chemical residue or any harsh, it's the solvent, really, that you're wanting to be careful of. So for us, we didn't want to have any solvent that was going to cause any kind of a reaction with the client's skin. It could be a wetting that they're doing. You don't want them to break out in hives or a rash. They could be nervous. It could be they could be an actor. They could be doing a photo shoot, high definition. You've got somebody breaking out in hives because they're reacting to a solvent. There shouldn't be solvent on your brushes. There should be no solvent whatsoever. So that's what makes our brush cleanser different, is that it's gentle, and it's easy to use, and it dries quickly, and it's, again, about the residue going onto the customer's face.
Right.
And that's, again, you know, for me, it's finding, you know, something to condition the brushes, but, you know, how many brushes did I go through in my day? But it's the brushes and the falling apart. You're actually washing your brush and the whole thing falls apart right in your container. So there you go.
Right.
That is.
And it's an instant cleanser, correct?
It's the when you say instant, our products are all tested with 10 seconds. But you spray either the paper towel or the brush, and you go back and forth, right, to
right.
wipe
right.
off any of the cosmetic residue.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I've always used a sanitizing product, and the first time that I even realized that you had a brush cleaner was several months ago. I walked into Nigel's Beauty Emporium in North Hollywood, and right next to the London Brush Company's brushes were the bottles of brush cleaner by Beauty for Clean.
Right.
So that's how I kind of discovered that. And I know that Cyan, you know, endorses that product. She uses that for her brushes.
She does, so and I was about to say, I love those brushes. They're great
yes.
brushes.
Yes, I love her brushes too. And what's something I was going to say about that? Lost my thought, but it's okay.
Okay. I'd love to add something to the brush cleaning. If anyone's wondering, many, many times over the years when I was on shoots, I would be really tired as well after long days. And did I feel like cleaning my brushes after a 12 or an 18-hour day? No, but I did.
Right.
Because, you know, as much as you're doing the in-between with the sprays, you really need to wash your brushes with a mild soap and water and lay them flat to dry at nighttime. You want to actually look after your brushes as well. And you really want to clean off and get inside, you know, anything that's there, because those brushes are an investment. And if you are lucky enough to have something like the London Brush Company brushes, you want to wash them, you want to look after them. And don't forget
right,
to
exactly.
do that. A lot of people actually, they just think that the brush cleansers are enough.
Right.
So don't be
You're
lazy,
right. those,
is what I'm trying to say.
They're very good brushes, and they're not cheap brushes, so you definitely want to take care of them. And I'm getting a question from the chat room. They're asking, how much does the brush cleaner retail for, and then what sizes does it come in?
So we have two sizes of the brush cleaner. There's a we have a 125 mil bottle, which is like a 4-ounce bottle, and that normally retails for, it's hard to actually get that in the pro the pro shops, because they normally don't sell that one. You can get that one on our website.
Okay.
And then we've got the large size bottle, and I guess suggested retail for that is $25, but there are specials, and we have specials online. The pro shops actually have specials as well, and I actually wanted to offer tonight, I have a discount code that I wanted to give to the listeners tonight that we
okay.
give out at some of the trade shows. And it's pro show. So it's P-R-O SHOW. And if you go onto our website and you put that in, that's a discount code, and you'll get a great price for whatever it is that you're interested in trying. And we have packages every once in a while. But as I said, suggested retail is about $25 for the bottle, but you'll see it anywhere from $20 to $25.
Gotcha.
And depending on who you're buying it
size.
From. Yeah, that's
for
the largest size.
Size. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And we actually have a larger salon size that we're coming out with for the salon and spas that we're launching into, and that we're coming out with that probably early 2012.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
So, and, you know, again, so when I say that's suggested is 25, you know, we can have specials at the trade shows or specials up on our website that you can get all three pieces and a bonus for $50. So it's like a $80 to $90 value. And, you know, we post those every once in a while as well. So it's, when I say suggested retail, it's suggested retail.
Right. Well, let me ask you said you only have three SKUs, the sanitizing mist, the wipes, and the brush cleaner. Do you guys have any plans on coming out with any other sanitizing products?
We have some secrets up our sleeves, yes. they are going to be on the circuit next year for the trade shows.
Okay.
We're working on them right now. They are related to what we do. And, again, you know, we're not going to be launching a cosmetic line or something like that. It's all about sanitization for cosmetics and to make the professional and the makeup artist out there just to make it really super easy for them. Because there's nothing easier than, as you say, you love the spray. Our mist is like our number one selling SKU, and it's one spray, 10 seconds, you're done. And it's just so easy, and you do that in front of your client so you can explain to them that you're sanitizing their makeup, and it just makes them feel terrific, gives them a great, you know, peace of mind, and again, it shows you as the professional that you're really giving that great level of service.
Right. Well, I'm really happy about the Beautiful Clean brand because, you know, you see a lot of the things that you see at the trade shows now or in some of the big beauty suppliers to the industry, you know, you see all of these products that makeup artists created and came up with, and they're all great, you know, with, you know, how we can convince our kids, you know, nice brushes and products and all that, and it's great, but I think for a company to focus on sanitation is wonderful, it's very important, and it's needed. So I'm just really excited about the Beautiful Clean brand and looking forward to seeing what else you guys are going to come out with. I'm looking forward to trying the brush cleaner and some of the wipes as well. Like I said, I do have a sanitizing mist, so I'll be spreading the word about it. Is there anything else that you want to share with the listening audience, if you want to give out websites and Facebook and all that kind of stuff, feel free to do so.
Sure. Listen, if you join us on Facebook or you know, go onto our website. As I said, you know, we've got specials, and that was a great. The Pro Show discount code is something that you can hang on to, and that will be up for a while. We do change them trade show to trade show, and I'm just very excited. Honestly, with the response, we launched the product about 2.5 years ago, and we just recently launched actually in India, and Hungary as well. We're launching in the Philippines. We're in Sweden, UK. You know, I get out there as fast as I can, and it's exciting to just see people embrace our philosophy of wanting to be clean, and it's the most important thing. As we go back to the first lesson that my mother ever gave me as a makeup artist, because I was self-taught, I didn't go to school, I fell into the business. It's a funny story. Her assistant didn't show up to work or called in sick, so she gave me a quick little lesson and said, just come help me on set tomorrow, please. And that's how I got into the business.
Were you very young? Were you like still in school, or were you out of school, or in a
I was in diapers when I started. No, I'm teasing, because that was 1984. I was right out of school, so
okay.
I was actually 19.
Okay.
I think 19, you 18
didn't have
or 19.
Choice.
I didn't. Yeah, I had to go help my mom. But again, I grew up on set many times, and I had a background, a family that came from the entertainment business, so I'd been around it enough, and it was a great way to start, and I ended up loving working with her, and then I started to learn my craft. And started experimenting, but I was always playing. I was always good with art, and I was always good with cosmetics and Halloween and things like that. And I found it very intriguing. But yes, I fell into it and was self-taught. But first lesson I ever had was to clean my makeup. So visit our website, which is www.beautysoclean.com. Use the Pro Show discount if you haven't tried Beauty So Clean yet, because those specials are up right now, and you definitely want to take advantage of them. And I look forward to finishing off the trade show circuit this year, but bringing out the new products for 2012.
Absolutely. Now, we normally ask all of our guests this one question, and your answer, of course, does not have to be makeup related, but we want to know before you leave, what beauty means to you.
What beauty means to me, beauty is when you say the word beauty, and what you're asking me is about, I guess, about, you're talking about the outer part of a person. What beauty actually means to me is beauty comes from within, and it's about bringing your beauty out and playing with the products and experimenting, and again, that will only come out from what's inside you. So beauty is from within. That's what it means to me.
Cool. Thank you so much, Nancy, for being our guest, and I really appreciate it. I've learned a lot about sanitation. I'm looking forward to seeing, again, like I said earlier, some of the new stuff that you guys have coming out next year. But just to see the growth of the company and, all that we can learn from, following you guys. So I'm going to go on the site again and watch some of the videos and just share the information with others. So, again, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Denise, and Danielle, if you're still there, thank you. And it was a great hour that we've spent, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Okay, you too. Okay, bye-bye.
Good night. Good night. Thank you all for listening tonight. Join us next week, where our guest will be the ladies behind the MAACD campaign. And that is Makeup Artists Against Color Discrimination. They'll be our guest next week, and we'll have a discussion with them. So spread the word, tell a friend, join us 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time next week for Beauty Talk. If you like tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite here on Blog Talk Radio, or you can send us messages on Facebook, Twitter, and email, as usual. Again, thank you for joining us, and everyone have a wonderful night. Thank you, Danny.